Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, today is a day of darkness. Not in a physical sense, as you can see the sun is shining, but in a theological sense, that you live now as fallen human beings, east of Eden, in the in-between, between the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so this darkness that falls upon you is ultimately the work of Satan, as he seeks the death of the light of the world, the Christ child who was recently born into the world. This darkness, it deceives men and it blinds them into great shame and vice. This darkness is a sinister force, hiding in the shadows, ever ready to steal the gifts that God has given to you through His Son, the Christ. Ever ready to twist His blessings into curses and His gifts into afflictions. When Isaiah picked up his sunlight pen, if you will, Jerusalem was shrouded in great darkness. It was a dark and despairing time for the people of Israel. It was a time when the ways of the wicked prospered and the righteous suffered contempt. It was a time when the sins of man piled up into a mountainous heap. And they didn't care that what they would sow, they would also reap. Darkness filled the land so deeply that the light of the world found no room at the end of the earth. When you read about the days, these ancient days of Isaiah and the people, you shake your head in disbelief. But you wonder, how could it possibly be that one man can be so evil to another man in his greatest time of need? You wonder perhaps how darkness could ever get the upper hand, how it could sift so many people like wheat. Like Judas, who was overcome by this darkness, even as the light of the world bended low to wash his feet. You wonder, even as you label these ancient people of old a savage people, an unenlightened people, a people without impulse control. For you and I are always tempted to think that that was then, but this is now. It's different. That the master of dark arts has retreated, slithered back into his cold and dark cave. Completely unable to ruin your life because Christ was crucified and He's been risen from the grave. But the earth of yesteryear is the earth of the new year. And so today Isaiah speaks of a thick darkness that equally surrounds you as it did the ancient people of Israel. For you are no better. You aren't an enlightened people by your world's age of enlightenment, by your own reason and your own strength and senses. For do you not reach out for the light, but yet you hold in your fist darkness? You find it better to turn off the light and hide in the darkness of sin, to run, to give up believing and yearning and longing for the light of grace. For you are continually broken by this darkness. And yet you keep running back to it. You keep running back to its lie and its death, which masquerades as light and truth. And what is sad is that your eyes have adjusted to this darkness, so that you love that which is evil and wrong, and you hate that which is good and right. And so you toil in this darkness, trying ever so mightily to justify your dark and sinful acts, You desperately want to make this darkness look like light. And if necessary, you will lose everything in the process to make it so. But this darkness, it is thick, and it is deep, and it is stubborn, and it is conceived by Satan. And you who live in a flicker of light, who understand or at least struggle, if you will, between the darkness and the light, between unbelief and faith, you often wish those whom you love would understand this darkness and what its true aim is in their life, and that they would confess their sins and receive the light of God's grace. You expect them to learn their lessons, but they don't. You expect them to understand that if they play with fire, they are going to get burned, but they don't. You expect them not to commit the same sin twice or three times or over and over and over again, but they do. I suppose maybe you get to the point that you'd like to treat them like a 4th of July glow stick. Snap them, shake them violently until the light comes on. Maybe not, no. But do understand that when the darkness shrouds your entire life, the whole earth, and thick darkness floods into your heart and your mind, perhaps into your marriage, into your children, into your entire life, when Satan's wicked devils fill the land, seeking to devour you in this sin and darkness, and all seems lost, that is when the Holy Spirit hovers. And He hovers over all that is dark and formless and void, just as He did in the beginning. And God the Father, as in the beginning, spoke His sunlight to you. This is my beloved Son. This is your redeeming light. He is your hope, and He comes today for you. Those of you who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He is the light that no darkness can overcome. And in mystery, He is the light that will pierce the darkness by the dark art or curse of crucifixion and giving up His light and His life so that all who trust in Him will have eternal life and this glorious thing that we call the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Indeed, Isaiah says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." It's not a light that has come, but it's your light which has come. And why does Isaiah say your light when we all know that we're talking about God's light? Well, it's God's light and it's also the light of us all. For the light belongs to God who gives it, but it is also ours because our Heavenly Father knows that we desperately need this light. You need the light of the Father that is shown or that is graciously shown upon you through His Son. In darkness, in the Garden of Eden, this light shined. In the darkness when Adam and Eve fell into great shame and vice and they fell into sin and death, this light shined. When the entire Old Testament church was wandering through the wilderness in sin and disobedience, by the voice of the prophets, this light shined. It shined in the heard and promised word that the Father would send forth His seed, born of a virgin, born under the law, to disperse the sin and the sadness, the darkness and the death of all men. And this is the light that shone upon the Magi, the wise men. Through this captivity, through this deportation of Israel into that captivity of Babylon, this light was taken east, likely to Persia, present-day Iran. And the Magi, the wise men, they heard this light and they believed this light. And so when the light of God's star shone in the darkness, when it shined and pierced the night, and it displayed the Father's love in the flesh of Jesus, the Magi knew that this wasn't just a child. This was the King of the Jews. But he was also God in the flesh, come for them. For the wisdom of the wise men, if you will, is found simply in this, that they worship God in the flesh, in the child Jesus. No doubt darkness trailed the Magi as it trails us, nipping at our heels all the days of our life. And yet notice that the sun guided by his divine star their path to the light that would enlighten all nations. They fell down on their faces and they worshipped him. They presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Costly gifts. And yet one day, all this would be reversed. For the angels would sing and the Father would smile and the Son would die. God would die as he bowed his head on the cross, and by a foolish death to the world, he would give eternal gifts far greater than gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but rather eternal gifts, gifts of resurrection and life eternal. The wisdom of the Magi is foolishness to the world. So don't overlook the fact that the sophisticated Magi were not offended by the lowly estate of which they found the God of all creation, the maker of the heavens and the earth. They were not offended by that. They saw the glory in that. Do understand as well that the light only shines in the darkness, not among those who already think themselves to be in the light. For here is somewhat of a paradox. Those who seek Jesus in their own light will only find darkness. And yet those who seek him in the foolish darkness of the cross will find the light of the empty tomb and the resurrection of life. You see, the light of forgiveness and grace, the resurrection and mortal life shines upon you through the spoken word that beams itself into your bodies by way of flesh, blood, and water. For you who crave a precious treasure, neither cost nor pain will measure. But the priceless gifts of heaven, God to us is freely given. Though the wealth of the earth would be proffered, none could buy the gifts that are here offered. Christ's true body for you riven, and his blood for you once given. Yes, today is a day of thick and deep darkness, yet it is also shrouded by Christ's light, for he is the light of the world. We know that it began as a flicker in the flesh in the town of Bethlehem, but now it brightly shines as a sun that beckons all nations and all peoples upon the dark and stormy seas to its light, its house of light. This reality, this promise, is the essence of what we call epiphany. That is, a revelation, a showing forth, a manifestation of our Lord's true desire, that all nations would be saved. All sinners would come to the light of his grace. Christ reveals his light to you this day, poor sinners living in darkness, whatever its thickness. No matter how dark in life no matter how dark and lonely life may seem, no matter how many pieces your life becomes shattered into, no matter how many times sin gains the upper hand and emotions flare up with the hate of God and all that He has made and all that He has given you, no matter how many times you slip back into that beckoning darkness, the light of Christ and His forgiving and comforting light shines upon you. Whatever estates in life that you fill, whatever callings in life that you carry out, and though varied are your sins and these vocations, and varied is its shades of darkness, Christ beckons you as one family around one table to celebrate the one joy in a feast that never ends. That light which courses through His flesh and His blood. And as you eat of it, is in your body and your soul as well. That is what bursts the tomb of your grave and darkness, and makes you new, and allows you to depart in peace. You depart in peace both before your God and before your neighbor, whoever they may be. You follow a long train of forgiven sinners, those who have gone before you in this light of Christ, and whose grace has wiped away all their tears, and yet you eat together as one table, one supper, one church, all united, your tears as well soaked up by Christ's justifying grace. A family of light and love, of whom the darkness can never overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen.